Would you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Alex.
Jordan.
Corey.
Joey.
We got your Brooklyn. We got your California. We've got EPs before the new EP. We've got an album. Has the album come yet? The album is done, but the album is, the album is in quote, to come. Let's go around the room and talk about California and where in California. And you can even take the microphone, just like American Bandstand or something.
Cool. I'm from San Diego, California, born and raised.
Born in Santa Cruz, California.
I was born in Berkeley, raised in Oakland, then raised in Berkeley after that.
Waldorf, Maryland. You ever heard a little band called Good Charlotte?
Yes.
There you go, Waldorf represent. I take no.
So basically, Waldorf has absolutely nothing else but Good Charlotte. But you're just gonna co-op friggin' Good Charlotte.
They have Joey Sulkowski, member, drummer of Mainland.
Oh yeah, that's right. There you go. You went to college and you gave it up for rock and roll. How far did you all? What point in college did you give it up for rock and roll?
I graduated.
From where? With what?
New York University with a Bachelor of the Arts.
In.
Creative writing photography.
Ooh, similar degrees to mine. And I didn't even drop out either. God, scary.
We all graduated college, actually. I graduated from the City College of New York, studied audio recording and music.
Oh, come on, you guys are way too qualified to be in a rock band.
Yeah, I went to school at the New School, Eugene Lang, and I graduated with a degree, a BA in urban planning.
Wow, you could have helped that guy in the elevator. We're just going to keep coming back to that.
I graduated from Berklee College of Music with a music business degree.
What's it like to be a punk in Santa Cruz, and did you just find yourself going to the Kennel in San Francisco a lot?
At a certain point when you're a teenager in Santa Cruz, there's so many subcultures of people there. It's not just hippies. There were the kids where I was hanging out, and the people I was hanging out with, there was an option. You either were a surfer or a skater. Right. And I thought the skaters were cooler. I thought the surfers were really prissy and annoying. So I started hanging out with skate kids and going to punk shows. One place was called the 418 Project. They had punk bands play. There was a place called Pergs. It was a coffee house that threw like DIY shows, and my band in high school played there a lot. And then sometimes the Catalyst would have really good shows. That's a historic venue in Santa Cruz. It's been there since the 60s. So that's kind of where I got my start. It was really a choice. You had a choice to hang out with the surfer jock bros or to hang out with the skaters that listened to good records and hung out, you know, in alleyways and drank 40s.
You all had pianos. It says that in one of the interviews that you all had pianos at a young age. Where was, like, the diversion? Because, I mean, I actually think an all-piano punk band could be really something, you know, like, and you can name yourselves, like, Liberace. You could have, like, all these different piano names.
I guess I switched piano teachers was part of it to this, like, rock and roll guy who would show up on his motorcycle to teach me. He gave me a book of the complete Beatles scores for my birthday, which I still have. And he introduced me to Bruce Springsteen. But I also started playing saxophone in middle school and high school. So that was also kind of a diversion as well.
My mom played the piano, so I took some time to learn what I could from her, but ultimately was really interested in rebelling against my parents and picking up the guitar at age 8. So I didn't take piano lessons proper until I was required to in college. But it's a good thing to know, writing music and for the sake of arranging in theory. Not like we use a lot of music theory in this band, but
it comes in handy,
you know, when you're in the studio and you're communicating musical ideas with your producer or whoever's around.
I started taking piano lessons when I was about 8, and it didn't really take with me at all. I stuck with it for a little while, but then I'd want to use the pedal for sustain because it sounded cool to have all the notes ringing out, and teacher would be like, well, you know, you haven't gotten to the level yet where, you know, you don't get to use the pedal until like year 2. or whatever. And so it just wasn't a lot of fun for me. So it wasn't really my first love with music. Like, it wasn't until I started playing guitar that I felt like I could do what I wanted, and it was a lot more fun for me.
I did take piano lessons. I think my dad at some point said, "You're very energetic and loud, so you should be a drummer." And then they bought me a drum set for Christmas, and then the piano just kind of got ignored after that.
All right, so let's get straight to the fun stuff. Because we're like here in Austin, and you like made an album, actually an EP, live in a week at Public Hi-Fi. Let's talk like connections, because, you know, you obviously been at this a little while, but there's always the great, or a lousy story, but it doesn't matter. There's always a story about how you get to somebody like the gentleman who tracked that record with you. So who wants to take that one?
A woman we were working with at the time was assisting Jim's manager, Paul Adams. We'd been playing around New York for a couple years, just locally, and a lot in the Lower East Side, and she took interest to us, and we met Paul Adams, and we hit it off with him. He loves Britpop and stuff, and we knew he managed Jim from Spoon, and we're huge Spoon fans and loved all their records, and they're definitely a part of our band's sound, you know, in terms of songwriting chops and recording techniques. So we were really interested in getting to meet him. We booked ourselves a tour before we were signed or anything. We were promoting the Girls Unknown EP in 2013, and we had a chance to stop by Public Hi-Fi and meet Jim. And we played him demos, and he's like, "We should track this all live and to tape, like print it to tape." And we just loved the studio so much, and we had an immediate connection with him that we flew down to Austin that fall and tracked it in a week, really fast. He was doing all the manual punch-ins and punch-outs on the tape machine, like 60s style. It was one of the best weeks we've had as a band, I'd say. It was a lot of fun.
Thing about having someone like him track your EP is they're also really smart, because they've gone to producers like a John Bryan, you know, for that track on Ga 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 Ga, and they're really smart. So when you're so you walk into Public Hi-Fi and you're, quote, tracking live, but you did some prep, you did some demos, and I just happened to see here that you did a lot of stuff on the iPhone, would that be correct, for demos?
Back then, we were novice to demoing. Our songwriting process has evolved a lot since then. But back then, I used to track all our demos on voice memo with an acoustic guitar on my bed, like on the nightstand, just singing into the microphone, because I hadn't quite developed my home studio yet.
You're a, quote, indie band from New York / California. Getting into a label, you know, and how to figure out how to navigate what goes on today. So all this stuff you've done so far, you've tracked at really nice places. This is not $3.49, or do people just love you so much that they give you deals?
We feel really lucky to be a part of this label, and 300 Entertainment. They're relatively new as a label, but the leadership there, we have Lior Cohen and Kevin Lyles.
And Todd Moskowitz.
We have Pete Gaberga as our A&R.
Jaberga.
It's a tricky last name. And Billy Burrs is our radio guy. So we have, for a new label, they have a lot of really veteran members. So it's a really, really strong team that we've gotten to know. And we're really lucky to be a part of it. We couldn't have made the record without them. And we feel we're in really good hands with this album yet to be released.
We were one of their early signees, and we're very fortunate for that. They signed us, I'm sure you read this, but played a show on a boat that sailed around Manhattan, and they signed us after that show.
I love, like, the really glossy sound, and then when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, I want to shoot myself. Outkast is just, like, right there. It's, like, the perfect example of what I love when I hear it, because it's like, you're like, oh, man, this is so much fun. I want to die now.
Yeah, so Jordan will always work on a new song by himself or with, you know, with a co-writer, and then he'll email us a demo. And I think for me personally, the mark of a good song is if I feel something when I listened to it for the first time. And that's not just relating to lyrics, but that's also like, does the melody, does the chord progression, does the hook make me actually feel a certain way?
Yeah, so we kind of operate as committee on these demos that Jordan sends us. And since they're demos, we can't really necessarily judge them on first listen. So it's a process. It's a process, like we listen to them in different contexts, in the car, at different volumes. You know, we kind of like live with the demos a lot. And yeah, sometimes a song will grow on you more and more if you listen to it in different contexts. And yeah, that's kind of how we ended up with the track listing for the album that we recorded. And that's what we're doing now with songs that Jordan's writing at this point.
But I do want to get to, it's like, this is not the tell me about some songs on the new album, but more about when you talk about where you're going to take this, forgetting all the mechanics, right? Well, we're going to record in California and Morocco and Piscataway, New Jersey, which is a must. You guys obviously know who you are. But over like this really long tail by album 42, you know, if we're all still alive by that, when you really think about like the new album, what people are going to get out of it versus the EP.
It's an emotionally raw piece of honest, diverse homages to great pop songs from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it's, you're going to hear a lot of honesty, a lot of personal truths in the lyrics, and just a huge spread of different types of sounds and different types of songs. I think there are more kind of ballads on the album, and then there's a lot of different genres represented on the album, more so than you hear four distinct songs on the EP, but it's essentially 11 distinct songs on the album. Like everything, there's no one song that's feels like another song on the album.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.